All right, let's pray. Father, we again thank you for this evening. We thank you for the privilege of being able to study your word, Lord. And we do pray that you would open our understanding this evening, Lord, as we just sit at your feet, Lord, and desiring to learn of you more about this Proverbs 31 woman and her character traits, Lord, and what makes her so valuable to you, Lord, that you would call her virtuous and her price far above rubies, Lord. And so we pray that you would just speak to us this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. So, we have been looking at this virtuous woman of Proverbs 31 in verse 10. Of course, we recall that it says, who can find a virtuous wife? Her worth or her price is far above rubies. And we talked at length last time about what makes her a virtuous woman. And we learned that it's her strong character and it's the inner qualities of her that makes her virtuous. And so now we're going to start looking at the character traits that make her virtuous. We're going to tear apart different verses and look at that. Specifically this week, we're going to look at her dealings with her husband. And as we do that, I want to remind you, whether we are married or not, all of us have a husband, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. In several spots in Scripture, he is called the bridegroom, and we are called the bride. And so, as we dig into these verses, I will be talking about wives and husbands, but always remember that ultimately, it's Jesus and us that this looks at as well. So, we looked at, in our homework specifically at three verses. We looked at verse 11, verse 12, and verse 23, and they all speak about how this virtuous woman treats or deals with her husband. Verse 11 says, the heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain or no need of spoil. Verse 12, she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. And verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders. So, if you want to turn in your Bibles, we are going to jump around a little bit, but we are going to start with Proverbs 31, verse 11, like I said, which talks about the husband safely trusting his wife. And again, we can look at this both in the physical realm and in the spiritual realm. And Jesus say the same thing about us as his bride. So her first character trait, the first one we're gonna look at tonight, is that she is a trustworthy woman, and that makes her virtuous. She is trustworthy. It says the heart of her husband is how the verse begins. And I wanted to look at this a little bit. What does that mean, the heart of her husband? I believe that this is the part of him that thinks, the part of him that can worry, the part of him that can get frustrated, the part of him that can get concerned, the part of him that feels. Like we talked about the virtuous woman, strong character being inner traits. This is something inside our husbands that trusts us, or makes the woman trustworthy. And so I had to ask myself, can that part of my husband trust me? Is he secure with how I run the ship when he's not home? Can he, or does he worry when he calls expecting me to be home and I'm not there? Can he trust what I'm doing, where I am? If I don't answer his call, does he have reason to worry about what I'm spending, what I'm saying, what I'm doing? Does he feel a need to check my cell phone to see who I've been texting with? Does he feel a need to check my history to see who I've been talking to? Does he feel a need to check the history on my computer to see what sites I've been to? Or can he trust that I've been to all respectful places? Can he trust that I'm talking to honorable people, that there's no shady dealings in what I'm doing? That makes me trustworthy. If he can say, you know what, I called, you weren't home, but I know that what you were doing was honorable. Does he know that my time is being used wisely? Or am I wasting my time? Am I constantly gaming? Or am I watching something on TV that I shouldn't be watching? Or am I fiddling on something, on dabbling into something that I shouldn't be on the computer? How am I using my time? Is it to benefit others? Or to spend time with my Lord? Or to be doing something that is of value? Taking care of my home, being that chase keeper of home, or if I work, am I doing my job well, in a respectful way? Do I keep my word? When I say I'm going to be doing this, is that what I'm doing? Or do I kind of omit things or bend things a little bit? Can he trust what I say? If I say I'm going to spend this much, do I spend that much? I know for me, you know, a lot of us, spending money, finances, can really stress a marriage. And do our husbands need to be concerned about how much we're spending? The second part of this verse says, so that he will have no lack of gain or no need of spoil. Do my spending habits force him to need a bigger job that brings in a bigger paycheck? Does he need a second job? Does he need a third job to support my habits, you know? Or can he trust what I'm spending, how I'm dealing with our finances? Because I know that's a concern of his. It's a concern of most of our husbands. They go out, they work hard to provide for our family. Do I make him feel like he provides well for the family? Or do I badger him about, well, if you only made more, we could have this. If you, you know, does he feel like he has, like there's a need of spoil, that he has to go out and bring in more and more for my sake? So I looked at, does my husband trust me? Am I a trustworthy woman? And hopefully the answer is yes. And the same as we deal with our relationship with the Lord. Is the Lord pleased with how I spend my time? Is he pleased with who I'm talking to, who I'm with, where I am? Or would he go, oh, that brings shame to my name. Don't ever want to bring shame to my Lord's name. And I don't ever want to do anything that's going to bring shame to my husband either. And so this woman, this virtuous woman, the heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain and no need of spoil. That first character trait is that she is trustworthy. She can be trusted with her time, her finances, and all of her dealings. Then we looked at verse 12, which says, she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. And so the second character trait that we see of this virtuous woman, which God says the price of is far above rubies, is that she's good. So not only is she trustworthy, but she's good because she does her husband good and not evil. I want to look a little bit at what the Bible has to say about good versus evil. And the first place we're going to go to is Proverbs 14:1. Which says, the wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands. So if we are doing our husband good and not evil, we are going to be building him up instead of tearing him down. It is very easy for us, with our words, with our actions, to tear our husbands down. If we are disrespecting them, if we are trying to take their position as leader in the home, which for us as women is very easy to do, because sometimes we feel we might do things maybe a little bit better or in a different way, where things will come out differently. But it says the wise woman builds up her house, and we don't ever want to be responsible for pulling it down with our own hands, with our words, with our actions. Galatians 5:22 and 23 talks about the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So we hear right in the middle of that fruit of the Spirit is goodness. It's listed right there. And Ephesians 5:9 and 10 talks about goodness as well, along with the fruit of the Spirit. It says in verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And so, if we want to treat our husbands in a good way and not bringing evil to them, we're going to find out what the Lord considers acceptable. And he does say goodness, righteousness, truth. We want to walk according to God's word in all of our ways. That continues on to say, having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather exposing them. So if we are doing the unfruitful works of darkness, if we're sinning, if we're walking in ways that we shouldn't be, that is when we bring our husbands evil instead of good. Also, with our mouths, we can bring a lot of evil on our husbands. In James, it talks about the tongue being one of our smallest members, but it can do a whole lot of damage. We can bless with it, and we can curse with it, it says. And let me tell you, ladies, it is very unbecoming when we tear our husbands down with our mouths. I have a friend who I would say is a good friend from back towards Geneva way, and she rarely has a good thing to say about her husband, and her husband is a great guy, you know, but she, in front of him, to his face, behind his back, it doesn't matter whether she's with him or not, she's constantly tearing him down. Oh, he's an idiot. Oh, I can't believe... Can you believe, that's stupid, how could you do that, you know? And it's just, it wears them down. And, you know, this weekend I did a workshop on marriage, and all throughout Proverbs, it talks about how a contentious woman can send her husband to the rooftop. And if we're constantly nagging, badgering, tearing down, you know, saying, you're no good, you know, you're a loser, you're a jerk, they're not going to want to be around us, you know, and so it would send them to the rooftops, you know, they'd rather be far away from us than to be with us, and so we need to be very careful how we speak about our husbands, the same way we need to be very careful how we speak about the Lord and what he means to us, and his salvation plan and his forgiveness and the very character of our Lord, as well as our husbands. We want to do them good and not evil. But this is a hard thing for us, because if we look at just a few scriptures here, I'm just going to read portions of them. Psalm 14:1 says, there is none that does good, none. So, if I'm expected to do my husband and my Lord good and not evil, but there is none good, boy, how does that happen? Verse 3 says, they have all turned aside, none does good, no, not one. Okay, so that's a pretty hard task. Psalms 53, 1 and 3, repeat exactly, word for word, Psalm 14:1 and 14:3. None good, no, not one. Micah 7:2 says, there is no one upright among men. No one. Ah, yikes, Lord. Matthew 19:17 and Mark 10:18 both say there is only one good. Guess who that is? God. God is the only one who's good. So that gives us a little hint of how can we do anything good. We have to have the Lord Jesus Christ dwelling in us, have His Holy Spirit filling us daily, so pouring into us so His goodness can pour out of us, so that we can do our husband's good. John 14:26, and I'm going to try to get there, says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So we know that there's no other way to be good except through the Lord, Jesus Christ. And then down further in that verse 26 says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said unto you. So the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us, He's going to teach us all things. He's going to teach us how to be good to our husbands and how to bring honor and glory to our true husband, Jesus Christ. And it's only the finished work of the cross that can do that. And again, the opposite of this verse, we're either doing good or we're doing evil. And here's a few verses that talk about evil. Psalm 97:10. Says, for you who love the Lord, hate evil. That's one way to do good. We got to hate evil. We have to hate the things that God hates, and to depart from them. Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. So there he lists three things that he considers evil: pride, arrogance, and the evil way. And also, sorry, four things, the perverse mouth. Again, we need to be careful of this mouth and what's coming out of it. But I like how it says the fear of the Lord, and we know that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? We need to be reverencing the Lord in our lives and seeking His wisdom for our lives. There's no other way to be good. Amos 5:15 talks about hating evil and loving good. Zechariah 8:17 says, don't even think evil in your heart. You know, my husband and I, we don't even talk divorce in our home. We don't joke about it. We don't even say the D word in our house. Because if you start thinking on those things, then you might ponder those things, you know. And so we don't even say it. It doesn't even come out of our mouths. And so Zechariah 8:17 again. Don't even think it in your heart, because the word says out of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? And that's when those nasty, evil things can come out, if we're allowing that to stir in our hearts. And let's take a look at, if you'll open with me, to Proverbs 6. Here is the list of what God hates. And again, if He tells us to hate evil, and this is what He considers evil, then we should never be doing those things to our husbands or saying things about our husbands that the Lord considers evil or hates. Verse 16, we'll begin there, says, these six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination to Him. A proud look. Do you ever look at your husband like, I know more than you do, or things like that? You know, I could have sure done a better job with that than you. A lying tongue. How was your day? Good. Where were you? Nowhere. when you know very well you were somewhere, perhaps maybe that you shouldn't have been, or spending something that you shouldn't have been spending, or, you know, doing something that perhaps you know that your husband doesn't care for, in the lying tongue, or maybe you decide just to omit something. I'm going to tell you, ladies, omitting the truth is lying. Don't think that just because you don't speak it, that it means it's okay. Even if you feel, well, it's because I'm protecting him. Because when the truth eventually does come out, it'll be 10 times worse than if you had just said it to begin with. It can be very hurtful to omit the truth. So there's two, a proud look, a lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. You know, when we have to start hiding things, not a good thing. It's a wicked plan. How do I do this so my husband doesn't know what I've done? You know, and it may be a small thing. And, you know, I don't know about you. I've had those moments where I've gone, oh, you know, spent a little too much at Michael's today. Or, you know, what can I tell him? You know, or, but devising plans. Okay, I just, you know, I'm just going to keep this little tidbit from him or whatever, you know. Feet that are swift in running to evil. A false witness who speaks lies. Boy, a lot comes out here about the mouth, doesn't it? And the need to be careful in our mouth. And one who sows discord among brethren. Are you gossiping? Are you telling your husband the latest news? Are you, that can even tear our husbands down. Are you somehow causing contention in your home, trying to take your husband's place, his rightful place as head of the home? Are you sowing discord among the brethren? Are you causing issues with your husband, causing strife, trying to overstep your bounds? So these are the things that God says he hates and that he considers an abomination, and he says that he hates evil, so he considers these things evil. So if we're doing our husband good and not evil, these things should not be coming into our home. And I just have to point out, and we'll be looking at Abigail here shortly in detail in our lesson, but didn't you love the story of Abigail? Mm-hmm. Now there's a woman who did her husband good and not evil, because her husband was an evil man who did some very foolish things. But she, you know, wanted to protect. You know, she went out and kind of covered his tracks, and, you know, and we can be like that. Our husbands may do some foolish things, you know, but instead of going out, did you hear what my husband did? Did you see what my husband did? Instead of doing that, the word says, love covers a multitude of sins, you know, and none of us are perfect, and we all make mistakes. And if our husband has blown it in some way, we shouldn't be out there broadcasting it. We should be covering it. You know, we should be like an Abigail, just, you know, trying to bring peace and doing our husband good. Then we looked at the third character trait of Abigail when we looked at verse 23, which says, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders. And this character trait, it may not seem like a trait, but it is, if you look at it. She's a helpmeet to her husband. She comes alongside her husband and boosts his reputation. Because for her husband to be known in the gates, for her husband to sit among the elders, he had to have a good reputation. The gates were the entrance of the temple area. And it was a marketplace. You know, you recall them talking about Jesus turning over the tables. It was the marketplace where the people could come in and buy their doves or whatever they needed for their sacrifice. It was a public meeting place. It was like the city or town. It could have been the gates of a palace or a castle. But it was a place where people came to have their disputes settled if they came to the gate. And if somebody was sitting in the gate, they were dwelling there, they were remaining there. And among the elders, it was those having authority of the land. And so it was a place of esteem. And in order for him to be there, he had to himself have a good character. I know, you know, my husband will say oftentimes, you know, it's amazing how the guys at work talk about their wives. They don't have much good to say about them, you know, and the names that they'll call them. And it may be in a joking way, but women can do the same thing about their husbands. You know, they can tear them down with their coworkers. They can dishonor them. But we should be women who boost, who build up instead of tear down our husband's reputation. Again, if we're doing him good, we're not going to be destroying his reputation. So this woman, I'm sure, had good things to say about her husband to others so that he would be respected and would be one in authority who could settle disputes. And what kind of name do we bring to our Lord through our actions? Are we ones who have that meek and quiet spirit? Are we ones who it's visible that he's working in our lives? Can the fruit of the Spirit be seen in our lives so that people have nothing to say against him? You know, because if we don't, if we're acting contrary to what the Word says, contrary to what the Word says he can do in our lives, people are going to say, Jesus, why would I want him? You know, he hasn't changed you, you know. Are we building the reputation or are we tearing it down? Same with our husbands. Boy, you know, if you want to get a job, what do you need to do? You need to bring personal references, right? Sometimes you need to bring business references. Same thing, you know, they build the person up. We should be like that with our husbands. Not having anything negative to say about them. And that fulfills all of these verses. He can trust us then. We're trustworthy if we're careful. We are bringing him good and not evil if we are building him up. And we can be that helpmeet. The first place, actually, that we see the helpmeet in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 2. In verse 18, it says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was his name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to all the birds of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And so here God has brought to Adam all of the animals. There are at this point male and female animals. And Adam's looking at them going, wait a minute. Male, female, male, female, male, female, male. No female, right? And so God has shown him, look it, you need somebody to come alongside you. All of these have, you know, there's two. And so God shows him, there's nothing comparable to you. There's, and it's not good for you to be alone. So for you not to be alone, I'm going to have to make a helpmeet for you. I'm going to have to make somebody to bring alongside. And so the Lord causes a sleep to fall on Adam in verse 21. And he takes one of his ribs out, and he closes up the flesh in the place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, man shall leave his mother or his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." So God, knowing that there is no suitable helper for Adam, there's nobody comparable to him in the animal realm, makes him one. He takes something out of Adam, closes up the place, doesn't say he fills in that place, he just says he closes it. Out of that piece that he took out of Adam, he forms this woman, he breathes life into her, and then he brings that woman that has the piece of him, the piece that completes him, because she has that missing piece. And they come alongside. It makes me think of like that jigsaw puzzle where that piece fits perfectly. The two become one. And she becomes his helpmeet. That one who completes him. That one who is going to build him up and do him good all the days of her life. Proverbs 12 says this about the wife and the husband. In verse 4, it says, "An excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who causes shame is like rottenness in his bones. But the excellent wife is a crown of her husband." What do crowns do for the queen? What do crowns do for the princess? They make them beautiful, right? They bring glory, you know? Wow! We're to do that. We're to be something special for our husband, you know, to be building him up, to be doing that part for him. And that's what makes this woman virtuous. She completes her husband. She builds up his reputation. She does him good all the days of her life. Not tearing him down. And she's trustworthy so that he doesn't have to be concerned about what's going back at home. And so, again, I want you to think as we finish up here, can my husband think of me in this way? And can my Lord think of me in this way? Do I bring honor to him? Can I be trusted by him in all that I say and I do? And if we can, then he will consider us that excellent wife that is a crown on his head. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this woman. We thank you for these three character traits which we looked at this evening, Lord. The trustworthy wife, the good wife. And then the helpmeet who just comes alongside and completes and builds up her husband, Lord. And we pray that we all could be like that, Lord, whether we're married or whether we're single, Lord, that we would do that for you as well in our lives, that our lives would bring a good testimony to your name, Lord, a good witness to your name. And we pray that you would just continually be filling us with your spirit, Lord, that we can even consider being any of these things, Lord. And we pray now that you would continue to go before this time, Lord, as we look at the homework that we've worked on, Lord, and just discuss more and more in depth your scripture, Lord. We thank you and we give you praise this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.